2 weeks ago, I'm working in my office, minding my own business, and I hear a voice.
Hey, can you hear me?
It was a voice I never heard before. And we were going to have a funeral later in that morning, so I just assumed that it was security outside my office trying to communicate on the radio. So I went back to my work, and it happened again. And I didn't like the voice, I'll be honest with you. And I started thinking, like, what is that noise? And it startled me so much that I got out of my chair and I went outside next door, Josh Brandon, our director of finance. And I said, Josh, I said, do you hear this voice? And he goes, I don't hear anything. I said, he goes, what does it sound like? It sounds like, can you hear me? And he's like, I don't hear anything. So I'm like half embarrassed. And I go back and I continue to work again. And then I hear it again. Okay, so now I'm like either losing my mind or for the first time in my life, it's possible that I'm hearing the audible voice of God. And so I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm not taking any chances. So I'm half tempted to say, God, if this is you, your servant is listening. I hear you loud and clear. Speak to me. So I start working again. About 10 minutes later, it happens again. I came to the conclusion that it was not from God. And so I went back out and I said, Josh, I'm hearing stuff. You got to help me out. So he goes and grabs a ladder. He comes in my office and we start popping ceiling tiles. And after about 5 minutes, Josh finds this evil little speaker device that one of our staff members planted as an evil practical joke to mess with me. I'm thinking I'm going crazy. How many of you have ever heard voices? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever heard the God's voice? Some of you are like, yes, I've heard God's voice. He spoke to me. Or it's been a long time since I've heard the voice of God. And it's been dark and I feel alone. Hopefully, you know that every time you open up the words of Scripture, you can hear God's voice. But there are times when we need direction, when we get so desperate that we're like, God, speak to me, lead me, direct me. At the end of every single one of our years, over the last 11 years, we take time and we pause and we wait upon the Lord and we say, Lord, speak to us. Give us direction for the new year. Give us a word or a theme that we can really rally around. If you were here a year ago in 2018 during our State of the Gate address, I shared with you one of the B's that we felt the Lord just wanted us to emphasize, and that is be trained. Last year, we trained more small group leaders than we ever had in the history of our church. 92 of you came forward and said, I'll be trained. You opened up your homes, and you started making disciples and leading small groups. It's amazing. For the first time, we became intentional with training our coaches, 37. Coaches were trained to be better leaders and to be able to resource our small group leaders. We added for the first time our recovery ministries on Tuesday night, a marriage component, because we want to see the unhealthy and the hurting marriages in our church family become strengthened and equipped and healthy. We did a teaching series last year on parenting because we want to equip you and train you to raise up your children in the fear of the Lord, that you would see your children as your greatest discipleship opportunity, that you would be very intentional with your time, that you would see your family unit as that small group. Last fall, we launched our Gateway School of Ministry. We had 48 who said, yes, I feel like God's called me to ministry. And so we started the 18-month journey, and many of them are even in Kerrville and Bandera today that are helping new churches get started. Last year was a pretty amazing day, a year. Felt like, man, one day is felt like a lot more, right? But as we look back last year, we should be grinning from ear to ear over God's blessing. It was an amazing year of blessing. We were able to move into our phase two and be able to let this be a hub where many of our friends are becoming devoted followers of Jesus and we're making great relationships. Can we just pause right now together and just give thanks to the Lord for all he did last year? Let's do that. Father, we never want to take anything for granted. We thank you for always being with us, for being merciful, for being patient, for loving us, and all the blessings that we received last year. We humbly come before you to say thank you. We acknowledge apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. And so as we embark on this new year, Lord, let our faith grow. And may we be careful to give glory to your great name. That we can be careful, Lord, to discern what your will is for our lives, for our families, for our small groups, and for our church family. God, we don't want to do anything apart from you. Lord, we long and desire for your presence. We don't want to continue forward, not one step, not one word, not one action, without your obvious manifested presence of God. Pour out your Spirit on us. Make us hungry, Lord. We dedicate this year to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So at the end of the year, we started praying again, waiting on the Lord, asking him to reveal very clearly what is a word or a phrase that we could really rally behind. And during an extended prayer time in a staff meeting, it became very clear that the Lord was putting on our hearts that we were to start the year with a fast, a 21-day fast that we started on, I believe, January 7th. It ends today. Tonight, we're breaking our fast with communion of a night of prayer and worship. I invite you to come back tonight for that. But during that prayer time, and we announced that we wanted to take a fast, one of our staff members' wives, who rarely comes to a staff meeting, she came to me and she was kneeling down, and I remember she was like trembling. She said she felt like she had a word of the Lord for us. And so she began to read Isaiah chapter 58, and it became very clear to me that this was not a word just for our staff team a month ago, but rather this is a word for you as our church family today. So will you please take out your Bible right now and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. The prophet Isaiah is being given a word of the Lord. In the first five verses, he's instructed to cry out to God's people. And it's a word of admonition. It's a word of calling God's people to repentance of hypocrisy, from straying away from him. And it's a call to get right with God. And it's revealing what's truly on God's heart. So it was a very sobering moment for us to hear and listen to this word. We felt very uncomfortable. But in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 58, the word of the Lord says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" Sometimes we can pray prayers, or we can fast, or we can do things, and even though we think the motive or the intention of our heart is good, it's not what is on God's heart. And so we should be very, very careful to always discern what God's will is and what is on his heart. And so it was a very pivotal moment as we were talking about starting this fast, what we felt like we wanted God to bless and accomplish. But it was a humbling, sober moment as we were like very careful to listen to what was on the Lord's heart. But we began to pray and we began to fast. And during the fasting and the praying, the Lord revealed one word over and over again, confirmed it in Scripture, confirmed it through missionary friends, Dick Brogdon, who's in this service here today, right now, through other friends, and it became very apparent that the Lord wanted us to focus on the word replenish. Replenish. It means to refill, to restore to the original condition, to make healthy again. For us, replenish will mean to slow down and spend more time with Jesus so he can restore what you need most. To slow down, spend more time with Jesus so he can restore and make healthy what you need most. So what is lacking in your life? What is the cry of your heart? What does your soul long for in a dark or desert moment? Are you missing joy in your life? Are you missing healing? Do you long for love? Do you long for peace? Do you long for faith, wisdom, strength? Maybe you're in a broken relationship or marriage and you desire healing again in your physical bodies or your mind. What does the Lord want to replenish? And what does he want to replenish in our church family? He wants to restore what was lost to make healthy again. Over the last 4 years, you as a church family have worked incredibly hard. We've done 2 building campaigns. When we started, got into phase 1, I honestly thought we'd be here 10 years before we do phase 2. Never thought we would jump right into phase 2, but because of the growth, we felt like it was necessary. You gave a lot. You worked hard to see that happen. For much of this time, we did 5 English services, 1 on Saturday. It took its toll. We started an Espanol church. We're starting 2 more churches in Bandera and Kerrville next month. Many of you have opened up your homes to start small groups. Your acts of service, your hard work has not gone unnoticed. I want you to know thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I also want you to listen to me very clearly. It would not be wise to continue at this pace. It's unsustainable. We are in great danger of doing too much and neglecting what is most important, and that is our relationship with God. What if God wanted to pour out his Spirit on us, but yet we were so busy doing things that we thought were good and noble, and we missed the very heart of God? And so I want to come before you in a moment of vulnerability and say, I'm sorry if I have not always modeled this well, and I haven't. But the Lord has gotten a hold of me, and he's humbled me. And I want you to know I love you as a church family, and I'll stand before God one day. And I desire nothing more than for each of you to be so in love with Jesus that your soul was never neglected because you were too busy doing the works of God or the works of your hands or activities or a career or hobbies, and yet you neglected your very soul. For your soul is the most important thing about you. It's the only thing that will go into eternity. And what you do now matters before the Lord. And just as a sheep might try to get ahead of a shepherd, the shepherd, a good shepherd, loves the sheep enough to get a hold of them, to discipline them. And he will do the same with us. He will cause trials. He will cause things to happen in our life to get our attention because the love of God is so strong, because of what his will to be accomplished through you is so strong. But we must listen and be willing to wait upon the Lord. You know this to be true, right? If your cell phone starts getting that red light at the end of the battery, what do you do with it? You recharge it, right? If you're driving along and your fuel gauge starts to show empty, what do? You refuel. Those of you who serve in our military, about 20% of you, a tactical pause is a military strategy. When the military is advancing and moving forward, you don't just continue to move forward beyond your support. A tactical pause is when you stay stationary, you slow down enough so medics can come up and can reinforce you so your stronghold can be good and healthy. And that's where we're at as a church family. And so this is a year, 2019 is a year that, yes, we're fasting and we're praying, but we're going to give attention to our soul. We're going to slow down. We're going to abide with Jesus, and we're going to focus on what that relationship looks like. And I promise you, the atmosphere is already changing. Over the last few weeks, our leadership, our staff, we would usually get here and start our day at 8:30 and start our work. For 3 weeks straight, we have declared 8:30 to 9 o'clock as 30 minutes of complete silence, where we just say, Lord, I want to pause and just be thankful for your blessings in my life. And I want to be still enough to listen. Today is your day. This is your church. This is your service. What would you want me to focus my attention and my time to? I want to discern your will in every conversation I have. How can I be an encourager? How can I help? How can you give me wisdom over a challenge that I'm facing? And we're careful of what our emotions is. What's causing us to be filled with joy, what's causing us to maybe, that's contrary and maybe causing us to have dissatisfaction or fear, and we're trying to discern the Lord's activity in our lives throughout the day, and it's changing, and I want the same for you every day. What would that look like? Every day that you arise, that you spend time with Him, and you're thankful for the day that you have air in your lungs, and you're grateful to Him, but you're aware of His presence, not just through a quick devotion time in the morning, but you're abiding in His presence throughout your day, aware of His work in your life. Imagine how much more patient you would be. Imagine how much more loving and encouraging you would be at work if you slowed down and spent more time with Jesus. My desire is that you, when you open up God's word, that you would be so hungry for Him speaking to you, that His presence that would be intoxicating, that you would desire it so much. That's my prayer and my hope for all of you this year. Isaiah 58, Jesus saying, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Notice what He says in verse 6. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Some of you are tired. I see it in your faces right now. Some of you are hurting. You may look like on the outside everything is okay, but on the inside there's anxiety and chaos. And you're struggling. And you feel like the enemy has had a stronghold on your life. And you haven't been able to break free from that. And the enemy has kept you a slave to thoughts in your mind that are not truth found on the Word of God. And you've believed a lie that has not come from yourself and has not come from God, but it has come from the enemy, the father of the lies. And it's time that you stop believing those lies and you believe the one who is truth and the one who says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Because the Lord wants this year to be a year of breakthrough, a year of freedom for you, a year of delivery for you. For where once fear and anxiety has gripped your life, know that you can put your trust and faith in the Lord and that He will undo those heavy burdens, that He wants you to be set free from the yokes of heaviness and despondence and depression, and He's going to bring life and replenish joy where it was once lost. We're believing God for that to happen. Even in your hearts right now, may you respond to the word of the Lord and allow it to increase the faith inside of you right now. He is going to replenish. Now notice that during a time of discouragement or trial, it's easy to become very self-focused, isn't it? It's easy to become inward and isolated. That's human nature. And so God is speaking here. He's saying, is this not the fast I have for you? Like when we fast, we withdraw things that normally would get our attention or pleasure things, and now we're going to spend time really listening to what is on God's heart. And so he's saying, I want you to be free of these strongholds and these burdens. But notice what he says here. It's very, very, very interesting in verse 7. He says, is it not, he's referring to this fast, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Some of you, your night has gotten a lot darker and you're just like, I'm desperate for light. I'm desperate for the light. But the Lord is saying here, even when you're tempted to be self-absorbed and very inward, would you trust me? Because there's others that are hurting more than you. And when you put your focus on those who are overlooked, on those who are forgotten, on those who are in great need, there is a kingdom principle at work. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then what? All these things will be added unto you. When you take care of what's on God's heart, He will take care of what's on your heart. He sees what you're going through. He sees what you're facing right now. And He's saying, if you just trust me, If you just, there's a need over here that's a little bit more urgent than what you're going through. And something happens when you give love and you give time and you give money, even when it doesn't make sense in the natural world, that just pleases the heart of the Father. And he says, all right, you got what, you got my attention and I see what you're going through. And he's saying your darkness will not be dark forever. It shall be noonday. And we're going to be talking a little bit later in this service about how we as a church family are going to help the poor, those who are in need, the hungry. We've been praying for a long time for the Lord to reveal how we can apply this verse as a church family. So at the end of our message, I'm going to share with you some Kingdom Builder projects. I'm very excited about doing that. But notice that the Lord, even when we are struggling and we've had some things we've been facing and we feel dry, in verse 8, we're discovering that our healing will still come in God's timing. He says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Praise God. By faith, we have to trust the Lord. Some of you are this close to giving up. You're like, I don't know how much longer I can endure. I don't know how much longer I can put up with what I've been facing. The Lord sees what you're going through. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He's not going to allow you to go too far in your trial. He wants to give you grace. He promises this word that he wants to heal you. And we're believing for just that. That this will be the year of great healing and replenishment. Healing in your mind and your emotions. Healing in your body. Healing in your heart. Healing in your relationships. Healing in your marriages. I hope that it's getting in your spirit that God's going to do some healing. And we're believing tonight during our night of prayer and worship, where we don't have to have a big agenda or be in a rush about another service happening soon after, that we can just abide in the presence of the Lord. And with great faith, I hope if you have need, you will come back, because tonight we're believing that God's going to move in a unique and a special way, that many of you are going to experience healings by faith. We're not going to sit back and go, well, we haven't seen many healings in the past. God says that greater works that we will do, that you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's time that we believe that the same miracles, signs, and wonders that happened in the New Testament will happen again and again, so that the name of Jesus can be lifted up, so people around us can see that Jesus truly is the Messiah and the Son of God. Amen? We're going to believe for this year to be a year of replenishment and healing. And then it says, verse 10 and 11, or verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul. When? In drought. Some of you feel like you're a little bit in that desert, right? You feel dry or maybe disconnected. God wants to satisfy your soul. He wants to, it says in Scripture, he wants to strengthen your bones, that you shall be a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Praise the Lord. But this will happen when you tend to your soul. We can see Jesus, right? Oftentimes, he withdrew to the desert. He would spend all night praying and abiding with his Father. John chapter 14 and 15, we see such an intimate moment of fellowship between Jesus and his Father for us. We see his prayers. We see how close he is. He says, apart from his Father, he can do nothing. He only says and does what his Father tells him. Oh, if we would be the same as a son of God, the daughter of God, that we would long to be close to our Father. This cannot happen through busyness. You cannot follow Jesus if you are in a hurry. If you focus on other things, the most important thing can be neglected. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to get your attention and to help you have a different rhythm in your life and your pace throughout the day and the week? That you would treasure your times with the Lord. That you would not just have a good intention, but yet it would show up in your calendar and say, these are blocks of time where I'm going to abide, where I make 3 or 4 days during the week, I'm going to get in my vehicle, or I'm going to go, instead of just having lunch with other people, my coworkers, I'm going to spend time with the Lord and the Word of God. I'm going to model for my family and my children. We're going to have family devotions, and we're going to pray together as a spouse, with my spouse. In verse 13 and 14, he says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourselves in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Lord is, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Set aside the Sabbath, observe it, rest on the Sabbath. It's the day of the week. 7 days that we have, he's saying, I want you to take that Sabbath and you rest and you honor me. And he's challenging God's people here. And maybe some of you need to be challenged. Today's the day for many of you. It's your Sabbath. But what do you do before you come to worship service and after? Are you more concerned about a sporting event? More concerned about activity? More concerned about a honey-do list? More concerned about spending time with other people than you are the Lord? You've been entrusted this year with 52 days that are to be set aside as the Sabbath. Don't do what your own pleasure and your own flesh would lead you to do. But would you pause right now and would you say, God, I want to honor you with the Sabbath. I know that you've instructed me, you've obeyed me to rest on this day and observe it. And I want you to spend time on this day. Every good Sabbath has four things. You can write these down. Number one, you stop. Number two, you rest. Number three, you delight. Number four, you contemplate. Stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. It shouldn't be burdensome. It should be your greatest day of the week. It should be a week that you spend more time with the Lord in his word or in prayer or worship, listening to him. Let there be silence and solitude. Maybe you take a 15-minute walk, just you and the Lord, and listen. Tell him what's on your heart. Be grateful. Doesn't have to look the same every time. And rest. It's okay to take a nap. You need to give yourself permission to take a nap and just rest. We get too busy and too high strung a lot of times. We just need to rest and just be. And delight yourself. The Lord gives us good gifts, doesn't he? He gives us each other. He gives us good food. He gives us good drink. What delights your soul? For some of you, it's getting out and doing a bike ride, or it's going to the river. Go to a place where you can have delight with the Lord. But spend time with him. Spend time with him. Honor the Sabbath. 2019, we're going to slow down and spend more time with the Lord. My hope is that our worship services, our nights of prayer, our times as a small group, that we wouldn't enter these times with an agenda, but we would really allow the Holy Spirit to move uniquely, that we would have more time waiting on him, more time abiding, more time allowing the Spirit to be poured out, to move through the gifts of the Spirit. These are the desires of my heart, that we wouldn't crowd him out with what we think we know is best and ask God to bless it, but rather we would slow down and say, Lord, we're going to follow you at your pace. And whatever you want to do, please do it. We're not getting in a hurry of focusing on the advancement this year so much as we are the health, because your souls matter. And we want to just bring such attention and time to the health, because anything that's healthy is naturally going to grow. Anything that's healthy is naturally going to bear fruit. And as we begin to be more healthy and more replenished, we have an opportunity to replenish what is on God's heart. In the last 12 months, you have generously gave $480,000 to the For the One giving campaign for phase two. We were able to open up this room twice as big for more of our friends to become a devoted follower of Jesus. But what would it look like to go, God, what is on your heart? Getting back in this chapter and this passage of Scripture, it's very clear that you desire for us to care what's on your heart. Who are the hungry? Who are those who are who are forgotten, who feel overlooked? Who are the missionaries and church planters that you are calling that are new and don't have much of a support structure around them? Who are those that are in the trenches and it's hard, and their spiritual warfare, that we can be a friend and that we can come alongside and replenish them? And so we've been praying. We've been praying a whole lot. We've been talking to a whole lot of missionaries on new missionaries that we can support. God, where are you at work? Where do you want us to go? And so we've come up with a lot of projects that this year, our hope and our desire is that what if we as a church family can give $1 million above and beyond the tithe to kingdom builders? Now, what is a kingdom builder? A kingdom builder builds the kingdom of God. For us, it's a group of generous givers who give above and beyond the tithe to a mutual fund of projects that build God's kingdom. That's what it means simply. And so you now have an opportunity to consider, contemplate, talk with your spouse, most importantly, listen to God of how you can participate. Our hope is that 100% of our church family would commit on some level. Many of you have been blessed, can give much. Some of you are not at the place, but you can do something. This is not to be a pressure moment, but rather, Lord, how can we replenish and give to what's on your heart? And it may not make any sense when you are hurting, but again, there's a kingdom principle. If we take care of what's on God's heart, he'll take care of what's on ours. He'll do it. I've seen it over and over again. And so I want you to take out your Kingdom Builder brochure that you were handed when you came in, and let's watch this video to discover a little bit more about Kingdom Builders.
Do you ever feel like your all just doesn't come close to meeting the need?
And I wish there was more that we could do. But when I look at the little that I have to offer, I'm tempted to be discouraged. Can I really make a difference?
What am I willing to do so that all may hear?
Well, I could do a couple of things. I could just throw in the towel and say, forget it, and not even try.
Or I go all in, and you go all in.
By doing so, we put all of this back into the hands of God, and we ask him to do what only he can do.
This year, Gateway Fellowship Church has a goal of raising $1 million for missions.
Kingdom Builders enables us as a church body to collectively bring our little in order to make the biggest impact.
This $1 million we believe will transform lives globally, locally, and into future generations.
Gateway Fellowship is going to resource 4 global projects in 2019. One of those is Project Rescue.
Project Rescue began 21 years ago in the infamous red light district of Mumbai, India. That night, 100 women were challenged to find new life in Jesus. Many of the women and daughters were taken to a place of safety to ensure a life out of prostitution.
Last year alone, Project Rescue ministered to over 37,000 impacted by sexual slavery. Women and children are being rescued and restored.
Gateway Fellowship Church is seizing an opportunity to be strategic in presenting the gospel to the area just outside of Mecca.
There is a stirring in this Muslim community, and we recognize it as a critical moment to support the creative advancement of the church among Saudis.
Gateway Fellowship has a vision to plant churches in 2020, and one of those churches is in Westside San Antonio.
Did you know that the 78207 zip code has been reported by many to be the most hopeless place in the city? And we want to put a church right in the middle of it.
Imagine if we take the time and energy to invest into these families. What could God do?
Go all in.
We're simply stronger as a church when we all work together.
What are each of us willing to do so that all may hear?
So wherever the church is needed the most, Kingdom Builders will be there.
Man, I'm excited. I'm glad you're excited as well about what God's going to do through Kingdom Builders. Guys, we've never, ever given $1 million to missions. We have an opportunity this year. It's a goal that will stretch us a bit, but we need to trust the Lord and by faith help us. I'm believing that God would pour out blessings upon you, that you're going to get a bonus at work that you didn't see coming. And when it happens, you're going to go, okay, yeah, Kingdom Builders. That's why. Yeah, like that's what I'm really trusting. I'm believing God because these matter to the heart of the Lord. So take out this brochure, but I pray that you would put it in your Bible, that you put it in a place that keep it close to, that it can be a prayer guide for you. One of the first projects here is a church plant we want to see amongst the unreached people groups that will start in Saudi Arabia. We want to see the Fire Bible translated and funded for our former small group pastor, Tony and Cora Nguyen, who for the last few years have been serving as missionaries in Vietnam. We can equip them as small group leaders and pastors with a library and a Bible that we can really come alongside and help them. As I mentioned before, next month we're starting two brand new churches, Gateway Fellowship Church, Bandera, and then Kerrville. Kerrville is in a place where they need our help. The budget is $135,000. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to take our first Kingdom Builder special offering to get them to be able to have the portable equipment they need to help them to pay their rental fee at the Diedrich Center in Kerrville that's been secured, to help pay the salary of our lead pastor, Oscar. So we're believing and trusting God that we can really invest in this new church in Kerrville. And as you thumb through this, that you would see these other projects and the Lord would maybe cause you to help get excited about some of these. Maybe you grew up on the west side and the Lord is going to put on your heart to be fund this, and maybe not just fund it, to be a part of this church plant one day. And at the end, we've talked to, 30, 40 missionaries over the last year, and these are the ones that we feel like we need to partner with and sow. And so these are brand new missionaries. Should we give as the Lord would help us? If we give $700,000, then 3/4 of this about will be able to happen. We're believing and trusting God that we can be able to give. Everybody do your part. Everybody do your part. Will you take out your commitment card? And I'd ask now that you would consider and fill this out. We're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to the Lord in silence. If you have your spouse with you or family members, maybe you join hands. Let's just listen to the Lord together and pray about what He would lead you to do. Stephanie and I have gone through this process. We've got 2 daughters in college. We've got expenses like anybody else. But the Lord has put on a number on our heart above and beyond the tithe. Our staff team has been praying as well. And together, we've committed to $43,280 to help lead the way. We would never ask you to give what we would not be willing to give.